Hello everybody, my name is Ray. Welcome to the Evangelical Dark Web. Today, we're going to be dealing with Michael Brown's struggle session in a recent article that he wrote because it seems like there's a trend right now in Christian media that a call has been made, a call has gone out, and you've seen Michael Brown kind of led the way on this one with the struggle session article. Doug Wilson also did his struggle session article. I'm also going to say Steve Dace did a struggle session segment on a show on Monday as well. It seems like a call is going out, and I think it has something to do with Benjamin Netanyahu coming to the States. But anyway, we're going to be talking about Michael Brown's struggle session right here in today's video. But first, I want you to know Evangelical Dark Web is a Christian news gathering and commentary ministry. You can support our work over at evangelicaldarkweb.org/join. That's linked below in the description. But the least you can do is like this video, subscribe to the channel, to the podcast if you are new. We also have a free Evangelical Dark Web newsletter that you should check out. But anyway, Michael Brown wrote this article. It's published on Christian Post, which has been publishing a lot of cringe lately. Over the weekend, they published an article defending a pagan prayer at the RNC. A couple weeks ago, they defended Israel's involvement with arming the Azerbaijani military in its ethnic cleansing of Armenian Christians. And this was written by an advocate for Armenia, by the way, which is pretty disgraceful. Like, way to care about the wrong country instead of the one that your organization is designed to care for. So it was a disgraceful article, very confusing premise and argument that it was trying to make, but this is what Christian Post does. They post a lot of ADL talking points. And this article by Michael Brown is actually similar to the one that Doug Wilson writes. It's just, you know, Michael Brown's just writing at a much lower reading level, which is good for this video. And Douglas Wilson is like way up here. He's way up in the sophistry stratosphere as far as his writing goes for that article, which we might talk about later in the week. So here is Michael Brown's article, "The Ominous Resurfacing of Christian," in quotes, "Anti-Semitism." So again, Michael Brown, if you don't know who Michael Brown is, good time for a quick explainer. Michael Brown became famous in the Brownsville Revival, which I do not believe is named after him, by the way. It's just aptly named. But he became famous there where he made a very false prophecy about Israel. Something concerning a natural disaster that didn't really occur is my understanding of this false prophecy. This happened in like 1996, by the way. So this is a very long time ago. But this is when Michael Brown became famous. And I think this is another quote by Michael Brown. "According to Jesus in Matthew 7, false prophets are wolves in sheep's clothing. They are liars and deceivers who are out to destroy. In contrast, a sincere believer can prophesy falsely, which is why all New Testament prophecy must be tested. Let's be careful whom we call a false prophet." Which is, let's just be real, that's stupid logic. That is stupid person logic. No, a false prophet is someone who prophesies falsely. That's what makes someone a false prophet. And yes, it is a sin to do so. And yes, it is a sign of being a false teacher if you falsely prophesy. There's not an excuse in the Bible for prophesying falsely. I don't believe there's an example of someone who is a prophet in the Bible prophesying falsely. So I believe, like, at best you get an instance of Moses striking the rock. But that's not prophecy. And Moses was punished for that severely. Anyway, that's just a little backstory on Michael Brown. He is a Messianic Jew, which is not a tradition that is over 200 years old, by the way, and is mostly just hyper-charismaticism mixed with Judaizing. Let's just be real. That's pretty much what it is. And on to his article. "So a Christian social media influencer with a large platform recently texted me, and basically the story was this: what needs to be up, a book that he wrote needs to be updated because the issue is rising in the church, and he thinks that anti-Semitism is an issue in the church. While I cannot demonstrate this statistically, he writes, I have been documenting it anecdotally, and it seems like the lid has been taken off and hidden views are now being shared openly. So he calls this an insidious disease is spreading again in the church. And again, I would like him to prove that this is, you know, why should Judaism be treated differently than Islam? Like, this isn't about hating anybody. This is about acknowledging that God has one chosen people. They are the elect. If you are chosen, you cannot go to hell. If you are chosen by God, you are going to heaven. You are being saved by God. Otherwise, what have you been chosen for? So, God has one chosen people, his elect, whom he foreknew that he would save. That is one thing that Michael Brown rejects, because he would argue they're chosen for mission, which doesn't really make sense. Again, one chosen people. God has one chosen people, the elect. And then all religions that are not Christian are false religions. You don't get to create a special category for a special religion. That's, you know, that's not true. Judaism is just, someone who's a Jew is just as far away from God as someone who's a Muslim, as someone who's a Hindu, as someone who's an atheist. Arguably, you could argue, you could argue that they are further away from God just based on statistics and, you know, anyone who's ever been a missionary to certain communities could probably tell you it's a difficult job. I've talked to people from Chosen People's Ministry, which I reject the premise of that ministry, but it's not an easy ministry. That is not an easy ministry to be a missionary for, because not an easy group of people to reach. Same as being a missionary to Japan. Not very easy. There are certain mission fields that are easier than others, including Islam, is actually probably much easier than the two aforementioned examples. So, all religions that are not Christianity are bound for hell. And we should not be making exceptions to this rule, which is what Michael Brown ultimately does. So, Michael Brown, we've covered this in the past where he recaps his disagreement with Chris Roseborough, which I didn't know they really had much of a disagreement. Both him and Chris Roseborough both attacked Martin Luther. Michael Brown would go on to suggest that Benny Hinn is more likely to be more saved than Martin Luther was, which is an asinine take. It is a low IQ take by Michael Brown that he believes that Benny Hinn is saved and more forgiven than Martin Luther, which is just asinine. And you also see, we'll talk about this towards the end, is that Michael Brown is, you know, he's tipping his hat to an anti-Nicene Christianity as well, which is, he's straying on Arianism here with an opposition to the Nicene Council. We'll talk about that towards the end because it's at the end of his article. So he recaps his story on Chris Roseborough, which we've done a video on. You should check that out. It's the last time we talked about Michael Brown on this channel, I believe. But of course, Luther was motivated by love, just like the Nazis who joyfully reprinted Luther's Jew-hating screeds. So again, he's starting to quote people that oppose him. And these are the anecdotes that he is responding to and collecting to. Chris did a great job explaining, yes, with historical context, why Luther said what he said, and how Luther wasn't aware that it was a sin, since the law of the Roman Catholic state that those who held to false religions were breaking the law. You can choose to claim that Chris was being untruthful, which is not, you chose to claim that truth, Chris was being untruthful, which is not true. Again, the idea that the state can't enforce first table issues is not a biblical position. Romans 13 clearly lays out that the purpose of a government is to, you know, reward good, punish evil. Idolatry is evil. It is the first sin of the Ten Commandments. So those who commit idolatry are actually committing some of the most heinous offenses against God, because the Ten Commandments are in order of severity. Still another asked, has anyone read parts of the Talmud? Yet another produced quotes allegedly from Harry Truman comparing Jews to Hitler and Stalin, then claiming that Albert Einstein made similar charges in a 1947 letter to the New York Times. I actually don't know about that one. But all these other things are actually pretty standard criticisms of the Jewish relationship with Christianity. So, you know, you're bothered by what another commenter wrote. You're bothered by what Luther said about the Jews, but not bothered by what they have said and do say about your own savior. How about the fact that they spit on Christians in the streets of Israel? Oh, wait, Dr. Brown, you're not worried about that. You instead would rather make videos against the Christians who speak out against it. And this about me, I believe loyalty to his people supersedes that of his wishy-washy Christian faith. I actually think that's true regarding Michael Brown. He is much more loyal to a Judeo-Christianity emphasis on the first part of that than he is to Christianity and the church. And that's evident in his theology and the false teachers he has been an apologist for, like Bill Johnson, like Mike Bickle. One of those guys has been, you know, he's had to go out in disgrace, by the way. But, you know, none of these charismatic teachers were ever able to prophesy that Mike Bickle was doing what he did, or Robert Morris was hiding a sin from people, which is kind of what prophecy in this New Testament context should be doing. And I'm not making an argument about whether people have the gifts or not, but whether what the gifts are supposed to be for is the edification of the church, the exposure of sin, stuff like that. You know, like when Peter pointed out that Ananias and Sapphira, I'm totally messing up the names off the top of my head because I'm unscripted. When they lied to the church, you know, that was prophecy pointing out sin. So that's what I hear about when people talk about prophecy still existing in the New Testament context. They're talking about instances like that. At least the best cases for continuationism I've read talk about instances like that. And not people are modern day prophets, you know, slaying people in the spirit. So anyway, even my theological opponents in the aforementioned recent debate who denied that the Jewish people are in any sense chosen quoted a number of standard New Testament texts that are all misused by anti-Semites who claim that all Jews are children of the devil, John 8:44, and that all Jews are who deny Jesus are not really Jews, but are the synagogue of Satan, Revelation 2:9-3:9. Among other passages, he also stated that Judaism is an antichrist blasphemous religion, with some viewers offering their amen in the comment section. Let me just offer an amen to that right now. I mean, again, if you do not have Christ, you are an antichrist blasphemous religion. Every religion that does not have Christ commits blasphemy and is antichrist. And I believe that the New Testament usage of the word antichrist is about anyone who's not in Christ. Not because the word antichrist doesn't actually apply to the man of lawlessness, which we commonly refer to as the antichrist in common parlance, especially dispensational circles. But I digress. In fact, it's becoming a mark of Christian orthodoxy to demonize the Jewish people and the Jewish religion. To fail to do so in the strongest, even vilest terms is to raise questions about your own faith. What a contrast from Paul's words about his own Jewish people who reject Jesus as Messiah, stating, "I can testify about them that they are zealous for God, but their zeal is not based on knowledge." Again, that described a group of people at a certain particular time. Romans was written in the 50s, I believe. So we're, 20 years post-removed from Christ being crucified? So that's when Romans was written. This is over 1900 years later. Things are different now. Genealogies are different now. So I would argue they're not the same. What we're dealing with now is not the same ethnicity as what Paul was dealing with then, but that's a topic for another video. The irony for me personally is that as a Jewish believer in Jesus, I've been reaching out to my own people for almost 53 years since the moment I came to faith, and I have always affirmed without hesitation that Jesus, Yeshua, and let me just say that people who say Yeshua instead of Jesus are just arguing that their mispronunciation is better than the regular mispronunciation that we use in English, is the only way to the Father, and that Jews who reject them, no matter how pious they may be, are still lost. So what is that part about the zeal, but their zeal is not based on knowledge, which, again, I would question the zealousness, but they're not really zealous for God because they reject Christ. And it's been 1900 plus years, not 20, in the same generation when Jesus says this generation. They're in that generation. Yet because I affirm scripture that the Jewish people remain chosen for a mission without the guarantee of their salvation as taught throughout the Bible, that's not taught throughout the Bible at all. And because that mission was already fulfilled in Jesus, like Jesus came through the messianic line. That's what the mission was. Let's not try and make, this is what dispensationalists do. They make the Bible about Jews instead of making the Bible about Christ. The Bible is about Christ, beginning to end. It is blasphemy to say otherwise. And because I unceasingly stand against anti-Semitic libels, that makes my own faith subject to the eyes of Orthodox Christians. Honestly, his faith was already subject for his hyper-charismaticism and his associations with the New Apostolic Reformation. I don't think his messianic, his Judaism is why most people have found his faith to be subject. Let's just be real. Let's be real honest about why people do not like Michael Brown prior to this article, to this rising phenomenon. You know, I read a lot of Pulpit and Penn back in the day. They did not like Michael Brown. They did not like the fact that James White liked Michael Brown. And at the end of the day, you know, Pulp and Pen, I wasn't sure I agreed with them at the time, but I definitely agree with their criticisms of Michael Brown in hindsight, and I'm not just saying because of this issue, but when someone repeatedly defends false teachers and false prophecy, that just totally undermines their credibility. Most recent example being Mike Bickle. Unfortunately, it would not surprise me if this anti-Jewish rhetoric does not become much uglier in the days ahead, even to the point of threats of violence along with calls for Jews to leave America. No comment. As Christian researcher Aaron David Froh wrote in the Jerusalem Post, typo on, because he said post on, one word, typo. Come on, I expect typos out of Evangelical Dark Web because I can't catch everything because I'm, you know, writing articles at 2 o'clock in the morning. You guys should be able to do much better. Today, theological anti-Semitism is flourishing in the church, pulpits, and seminary lecterns. Replacement theology would lay dormant for several years after the Holocaust, but has returned with vengeance. It would only be a matter of time before theological anti-Semitism would merge with nationalism, as it did in the fourth century under Constantine, and as it did during the Holocaust under the Nazis. So, another note about Zionists. They believe that the Holocaust is the pinnacle of history. It is the penultimate period and event in history, and not the resurrection of Jesus Christ. John Hagee and Michael Brown, Venn diagrams a circle in what they are really teaching in this article here. That the Christians are the baddies. That pagans are the goodies. And this is where Michael Brown tips his hand to being anti-Nicene. Because he says that this guy's a Christian researcher. Let's click on the link to the article that Michael Brown endorsed. An article by Aaron David Froh on decrees that spill Jewish blood, the evil legacy of the Nicene Council. You mean the council that said that solved the issue of the Trinity, where the church got the Trinity right, where the church, where St. Nicholas punched Arius and ended, you know, this put the, this was the beginning of the end of Arian theology, that Nicene Council. But of course, you know, Constantine's the bad guy in their view. But this is an anti-Nicene Council article, and it claims to be from a Christian writer. So that's Michael Brown undermining historic Christianity while propping up a false religion for you there. And that's all I got to say about that. I'll just let that final part stand on its own. My name is Ray. This is the Evangelical Dark Web. Stay based, Crisis King, and we will catch you on the next one.
Si conoce a alguien que vive de forma ilegal en Estados Unidos, pronto lo volverá a ver, porque volverá a casa. Me llamo Christy Nom, soy la Secretaria de Seguridad Nacional de Estados Unidos. Puede evitar problemas descargándose la app CBP Home y deportándose de forma segura. Recibirá ayuda económica, un vuelo gratis y la posibilidad de volver de forma legal. Si no lo hace, lo encontraremos, multaremos y echaremos a la fuerza. Bajo el fuerte liderazgo del presidente Trump, nuestras leyes se cumplen y nuestra frontera es segura.